The following message is brought to you by RTS on iTunes Z from the Chapel of Reformed Theological Seminary's Orlando campus, a graduate theological school committed to the authority of God's Word, where students develop a mind for truth and a heart for God. This message from our October 8, 2014 chapel service comes from Dr. Kevin Collins, RTS Orlando's Director of Admissions. It is entitled, Jesus, the Supreme Mediator. If you would like to know more about RTS Orlando, we invite you to visit our campus webpage at www.rts.edu/Orlando. And now, Dr. Kevin Collins.
I want to invite you to take your copy of God's Word and open to Hebrews chapter 4, and our text will be verses 14 to 16. Just to remind you that the theme of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is greater than anything else. Jesus Christ is the Supreme One. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Aaron and all the high priests who preceded him. He's greater than that mysterious Melchizedek. He is the Supreme Mediator. The writer of Hebrews is writing to discouraged Christians, discouraged and scattered. And he's encouraging them to be steadfast and persevere in their journey with eyes of faith to know that there's an eternal rest that's in front of them. Throughout the book of Hebrews, the high priesthood of Christ is exalted. In chapter 1, he is seen as the one who has made purification for sins. In chapter 2, he is a merciful and faithful high priest. In chapter 3, he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Then you remember chapter 7 through 9, the exclusivity of the high priesthood of Jesus is explained. And here in our text, in verse 14, he is called a great high priest. Ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word. Let us receive it as such. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word, and we ask that you would give us ears to hear what you would say to us today. May we receive your truth and apply it to our lives. We ask, O Lord, that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Because of his perfect person, Jesus has a perfect priesthood and has made a perfect provision. And so the writer of Hebrews is giving us encouragement. He's reminding us of foundational truth. And just as the Hebrews were on a spiritual journey, we're on a spiritual journey. Now, I can look at the academic calendar and I can tell where you are in your academic journey this fall. Many of you are under great stress. I know some have two exams even today. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey or where you are with your family and your spiritual journey, but I know that these eternal truths speak to us wherever we are in that journey. And so the goal today is to be strengthened by the truth, not to receive anything new or novel, but to be reminded of the truth and to be encouraged to continue because of the foundation of the perfect great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, three things we want to highlight from these three verses. It breaks out nice and neat, 1 point for each verse. Our great high priest redeems us. We'll see that in verse 14. Secondly, our great high priest understands us, and sometimes we forget that in verse 15. And thirdly, our great high priest invites us, verse 16. First, our great high priest redeems us. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Well, I would, if we had time in a normal setting, to elaborate on the priesthood of the Old Testament and all the things that they would do, but we're going to jump right to reminding ourselves that to enter the Holy of Holies, the great high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement, would enter through three doors. The doorway of the outer court, the doorway of the holy place, and then finally through the veil into the Holy of Holies. He did not sit down, nor did he delay. He got to business, and he was quick about his business. His time was limited. His task was pointed. He would do his task, and then he would quickly leave. He would not then return for another year. Year after year, the high priest on the Day of Atonement would go in to make sacrifice for the people. Remember, he had to make sacrifice for himself before he could make sacrifice for others. Day after day, though, they would have the morning sacrifices and the evening sacrifices. It was never complete. It was a process that never ended. And now, Jesus, the great high priest, with his one final and complete sacrifice, has ended all of those sacrifices that went before him. He fulfilled every sacrifice. And here in verse 14, the writer says that he has passed through the heavens. And we're reminded that he would pass through three doors. The first heaven and the second heaven, and then the third heaven, as Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians 12, the abode of God, the very heavenly Holy of Holies. The sacrifice was perfect because it was by a perfect high priest. He sat down, we're told in Hebrews 1, verse 3, because he had completed his task. He made the perfect atonement for sin, the purpose for which the Father sent him into the world. His ascension, his coronation, the session of Christ is the culmination of his ministry. He is now seated. He's ruling and reigning at the Father's right hand with all authority because it is finished. But he's not taking a break. He is working even now on our behalf. What is this confession that the writer is encouraging us to hold fast to cling to? Well, first, it's the confession that we're sinners in a helpless and hopeless state without someone to save us. That's the first step of coming to Christ. We have to acknowledge our sinfulness, our desperation. And oftentimes, as we're in the journey of academic studies, we study the high and lofty things, and those are all true, and we need those, but sometimes we need to be reminded of the basic reality that you and I have been saved from sin and the consequences of sin, and it's through one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else could save us. We could not save ourselves. That is our confession. That is the first part of that journey. Jesus, I'm helpless and hopeless. I'm polluted with sin, and I'm dead in my sins and trespasses unless you would have mercy upon me. May we never forget that. May we never grow weary of giving thanks for that great salvation. That's what the writer of Hebrews is reminding us. This so great a salvation because we have so great a Savior and so great a future hope. Even in the midst of our weary journey, even in the midst of our failures, even in the midst of pain and suffering, he's saying, go on. There's an eternal rest ahead of us. So when we stumble and we fumble and we fall down and we blow it, We looked at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him went to the cross and went through the cross to defeat Satan and sin and death for us. Amen? There may be one Baptist in here. See, I grew up Baptist, so that doesn't scare me anytime someone says amen. Just want to make sure you're awake. What is this confession? First, we're sinners in need of salvation. And secondly, that he is the Christ. He is the one who can save. And I thought of various names that we ascribe to Jesus. He's the Son of God, the Son of Man. He is the Messiah, the Mediator, the Apostle, the Great High Priest, the Good and Great Shepherd of the Sheep, the Friend of Sinners and their Savior. He is the Lamb of God, the Son of Righteousness. He is the Lord, the Advocate, the Bright Morning Star, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's our Jesus. That's the one who is able to save. He is the one who died for sinners just like us. That's not just something that we are being trained and equipped to tell others. That's what we have to say has happened to us. And that wells up a spring of joy that just keeps coming out of us each and every day that we sing and we pray and we study because Jesus has set us free to do that. Jesus redeemed sinners who receive him and rest upon him alone for their salvation. God graciously justifies sinners who repent of their sin and trust in Christ alone by pardoning them of all of their guilt and receiving them and accepting them as righteous in his very sight. That's the great salvation that we have because Jesus is that Savior. It's because of his righteousness given to us that we have access to God. As Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. The friend of sinners, the lover of our soul, the one who loves us so much that he died for us. Well, not only is Jesus the supreme mediator and our great high priest who redeems us, secondly, we see he is our high priest who understands us. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And in your Bibles, I hope you underline that last phrase, yet without sin. That word sympathize means feeling and the ability to help. Not just having a feeling, not just having emotion, but having that connection, having the feeling and the ability to help. In every respect has been severely tempted or tested, just as we are. We battle external pressures, don't we? We battle internal stresses and weaknesses. So it's fears without and fears within, stresses without and stresses within. And oftentimes we forget that Jesus in his humanity understands us. He understands what we're going through. On our journey and on our quest to that eternal rest, we have a faithful high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Not that he was weak, because he was strong. He was without sin, but he was tempted and tried in every way, in every category, just like us. He can relate to us. Even as the eternal Son of God is fullness of deity and fullness of humanity, it did not prevent him in his humanity from understanding pain and suffering and stress and agony, to know loss and hunger and thirst and emotional stress and strain. Therefore, whatever we're going through, we have a great high priest who understands us. He's not only redeemed us and is now a disconnected, distant deity, he has redeemed us and he understands us. That's why the writer in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 says that therefore he, referring to Jesus, had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, in order to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Again, that's a phrase to underline in your Bible. He is able to help those who are being tempted. So when we're tempted, Jesus understands that. When we're going through a trial, Jesus understands that. If it's an outward stress, Jesus understands. If it's an inward stress, he understands. Jesus shed tears. He understands when you shed tears. Jesus mourned the loss of life. He understands when you're mourning the loss of life. Whatever the situation is, our faithful high priest took on human flesh in order to understand us. And because he made that perfect sacrifice, he then redeems us. He fulfilled the requirements of the covenant of works with his personal, perfect, and perpetual obedience. He ratified the covenant of grace by a sacrificial death. He is the perfect prophet, priest, and king. Not only is Jesus the supreme mediator and our great high priest who understands us, thirdly, we see our great high priest invites us in verse 16. Let us then with confidence, or in some translations it says boldly, draw near to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Paul explains this in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Based on our justification by faith, remember, he says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope. We stand in God's presence because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on our behalf. We have access to the Father. You know, in Genesis 1 and 2, there was immediate access to God, which was lost by our first parents' sin. And so this story of redemption, which is continuing, will culminate when Christ returns and the new heavens and the new earth, where we'll have immediate access. The paradise that was lost will be restored, and we'll have immediate communion with God forever and ever and ever. And that's what the writer is saying. There's an eternal rest that we're pressing on to. Not to be distracted by the stresses and pressures of this world, but to keep on going. Because there's laid up for us a day of rest, an eternity of rest. And that's what we need to remember even this morning, is to be encouraged to keep on keeping on. Because of what Jesus Christ did, and because of who he is, and because of the promise of what lies before us. We're invited to come confidently and boldly and often into his presence. We come to the Father through the Son and by the Spirit. It reminds us of Matthew 7, where Jesus said to ask and keep asking, to knock and keep knocking, to come and keep coming. In Luke 18, the persistent widow who would go to the unrighteous judge often and bid her plea, and Jesus said he finally gave in and answered her plea. And if an unrighteous judge would do that, how much more your Father, a righteous judge, will give to you if you'll keep on coming. James says you have not because you ask not. And oftentimes we ask with the wrong motivation. And so our faithful high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, welcomes us. He invites us to come into his presence and to keep on coming. Hebrews 7:25 tells us that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We can come to Jesus anytime, anywhere. That access is open. As verse 14 says, he passed through the heavens. It reminds us of Matthew 27, verse 51, when Jesus gave up his final cry and the veil was ripped in the temple, symbolizing access has been gained by Jesus Christ, by his blood, to God the Father. This throne of grace that he says we can receive mercy, forgiveness of our sins, we can find grace to help us in our time of need. We need him, as the old hymn, every hour. But as one of my dear elderly female saints told me every week, going out of the back of the church, Pastor, I need him every second. Not just every hour, every second of every day. And beloved, that is true for us. So I don't know where you are in your journey of faith. I don't know what external pressures are upon you or what internal weaknesses you're going through, but the promise of Scripture today is that we have a faithful high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our great high priest has redeemed us from sin and the consequences of sin. Our great high priest understands us. And our great high priest says, come, invites us to keep coming because he lives to make intercession for us. And friends, keep our eyes looking forward down that road, that beautiful picture, the beatific vision of where we'll see Jesus even as he is, and we will have immediate communion forever and ever and ever, and we'll worship with the saints who have gone before us and the angels and the archangels, and we're encouraged to now encourage one another. And so in a moment when we leave, I want us to find a way to encourage our friends and classmates and our faculty and staff. Let us encourage one another to be steadfast in our faith, hold fast of that confession, and to keep moving forward with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves us and gave himself for us. Let us pray. Father, we do pray that you would encourage us by your word, that the truths in Scripture would not become too familiar to us, that we would take them for granted, but Lord, may we be in awe and wonder of your amazing love, that steadfast love that will not let us go. Fill us with that comfort, that encouragement. May we be encouraging to one another as we continue our journey of faith. We pray in the name of the author and perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.